Hey, everybody. I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious Podcast, the show that's taking the way out there and bringing it right here.
Oh, yeah. Today, we've got Jamie Butler, who is the everyday medium, but she's like the miraculous medium, the amazing medium,
the extraordinary medium.
Extraordinary medium. And she's also a Reiki master, a channeler, and a teacher.
Yes. And I'm beyond excited. So, you ready to meet her?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Jane. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sorry to do it. I'm such a fangirl. I'm such a fangirl.
I know. Yes, tell us. Tell us, Jane. You're busted. Well, you're busted to see.
I know. I'm like, I'm seriously shaking. You were my first medium.
I was?
Yes. You were my first medium. I feel like that's like a doll that we want to start selling on the shelves. My first medium.
She comes wearing crystals and everything like that.
Oh, she's got a muumuu.
Gotta make her.
Yeah, a dress.
Right? She's got like a tiny tiara thing.
I love you so much exactly for your mission, which just to summarize with your amazing tagline, it's not woo-woo, it's true-true, which I think just nails it twice and then again. And so when I saw you, and this was like 16 years ago, and you were just the normal, gorgeous human being, just normal out in the world, being a medium, I was like, okay, this is possible. So thank you for that.
Well, back at you, want to thank both of you for just presenting the material that you do in a very casual mom style. You're talking it out. You're not like over sensationalizing it. You're not poking at it. You're really looking at it with curious eyes. And I think that makes it so much more available to the everyday person who is wanting to get into this, but does not know where to begin, doesn't know who to talk to. And now they have the privacy of your podcast in their ears, you know, like burrowing a hole to wake up. I love this.
Aww. That's amazing. Well,
I love listening to your podcast.
Aww.
Sarah, take it. Take
Did
it.
We
I'm
just
shaking.
Blow up? I think our heads are about to explode, Jane, truly. I'm going to float away over here.
Don't stop.
You know,
we love it. We're having so much fun. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from people saying that they didn't know that they could do this, but they're looking back on experiences that they've had and realizing what's going on. And that's what we're here for. We're here for that.
And actually, that just leads to a question that we wanted to ask you. It's like, here are all these like tender, budding mediums, people who are starting to come online and they're sort of going, what is this? Is it real? Is it true? And I know that you know it's true, but can you talk to us about that and like what that like help us share what you do with our audience.
So my passion is teaching. I'm thoroughly addicted to it. Watching people wake up and have their light come online, it's like no other feeling where they catch on and they go, oh my, that's what I've been doing. That's what that is. And now I've got vocabulary for it. And actually, when I teach, I like to provide space to learn the vocabulary. How do I share what I'm doing with somebody else and not throw myself under the bus and not say, right? Like, this is so weird, but, or I'm not crazy or anything, but it's like you're already prepping somebody to not understand or connect with you. So I like to add that layer of compassionate communication. So that you can stand on your own two feet squarely and connect with somebody on a topic that might be still a little outside of the box. But I think it's most important that when you discover it through whoever you're learning from, that you also need to be able to turn to your closest of friends and community and family and talk about it in a very casual way, which is such the example that you provide. I love listening to several of your podcasts where you ask the most outrageous questions and the tone in your voice is so cash. And it's like, of course, this is what we've been looking for, because I think these budding mediums out there that are coming forward, you know, they aren't looking at the Madame Bell psychic stores that are out there and thinking, oh God, I need to get my crystal ball and I need to have, you know, an extravagance about me and only wear purple velveteen fabric to be authentic.
Yes.
So you actually don't even need Birkenstocks or an amethyst crystal, you know, like you just,
I mean, I might have you. Both, but, but my husband sometimes, Jamie, will go like, oh, now you look like a medium. And I like karate chop him. I'm like, cut it out.
But sometimes that's the out. If that's your comfort zone, then that is your outfit. Thank you, husband, for noticing.
Luckily, he's very cute and very funny. So he can say whatever he wants. He can get away with it. But it's true. I love how you said that, Jamie. It's like there's a story or sort of an idea of what a medium looks like. And we're like, no, actually, it's, you know, Sarah runs the PTA with her bestie. Like, we're just normal chicks.
Thank you. Yes. Normalize this. It's okay to be highly sensitive. It's okay to be intuitive and use it in all of your decision making. Not just your special decision making where you go and you sit down and you meditate and you call upon it, but the kind where you're just making decisions in your head on the fly and you use your intuitive ability because it's natural to you.
I heard you talking about picking your fruit in the grocery store.
I love that.
Using your intuition. It's like, yeah, of course.
So smart.
Come here, avocado.
Running my hands over it. And I had the woman come up to me and ask me if I needed assistance. She thought I was blind. And that I was picking the fruit by touching and feeling all of it. And I looked at her and I kindly said, no, thank you. I was just feeling the energy to which one needed to come home with me.
Yeah.
So we had this notion in the early days, and I don't know if you happened to listen to this episode, where we were playing with the idea of a natural born medium and a surprise medium. And I think what we discerned is that essentially Sarah and I are both surprise mediums, but you're our first guest who is a natural born medium. And I'm super excited to hear, maybe if you could share a little bit about like your childhood and what you experienced and a little bit about how you came online.
Well, I'll just say my poor parents, and thank you for both of their patience and creativity. But it was through their eyes, as I've heard as an adult, a very interesting journey. Both of them agreed that they didn't really ever worry about me, but they couldn't really understand why. So I was pretty much a free wild child. Latchkey kid, you know, both parents worked. You just kind of walked yourself and made your own meals and just did your thing. And when I was very young, I would stay in my room and play with my spirit guides. We played classroom. They taught me a lot about life, animals, plants, just they were always there and I could see them like I'm seeing you, but they were a little more see-through. And I think I developed that kind of clairvoyant, clairaudient relationship with the deceased in that manner because I humanized them. I think it was a safety mechanism as a child to make them appear more human because that is what my family looked like. So that's just my opinion. And then I'd play hide and seek. We'd play games. And yes. So my mom would tell stories of watching me run outside and run around the house, look like I was dodging air and squealing and screaming. And then she'd find me hiding in really like bizarre places and scare the crap out of her. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm hiding from Bobby. She's like, who's Bobby? Yeah. You know, like, was my child broken? But she said, you were never difficult. You know, you never posed any conflict. And I remember there were some rough times where I would bring energy to them that I could see and offer it to them. And they thought that I was, you know, serving imaginary cake or, you know, just being a little kid, and they would eat it. And I'd scream and cry, you know, because it was a spirit cat or like, and they ate it. And my brother would do it all the time. I remember my dad spit it out. He was like, spit it out, and he handed it back to me, and I like cried for hours about it. And then we'd go to restaurants, and I would save, you know, 6 seats. We're a family of 4, and I would ask for a table of 10. And I would scream and pitch a fit when people sat in the chair that they were sitting in. I couldn't comprehend, why would you sit on them? Why wouldn't you just ask them to move like you do with another human?
Yeah.
And my brother quickly figured out, he's 3 years older than me, that it was an easy like torture point. And he would find out where they were and like put his fingers in them and, you know, just put me on edge.
So
my parents had had it by the age of 6, and they were like, you've got to say goodbye to these imaginary friends, is what they called them. And we were up in Helen State Park in Georgia. I grew up in Central Florida. And I remember it so very clear. You know how you remember your trauma moments? Yeah. Like, I had purple glitter jelly shoes. Did you ever?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Thank you. They were my focus for the 8-hour ride home. I was just like, the jelly shoes. Oh my God. Oh my God. But I stood outside that brown Pontiac Bonneville, huge car. And I said goodbye to each of them and wailed and cried. Oh. And my mom would turn around in the car and she'd be like, remember, they're staying in Helen, Georgia. You know? And then it was the first moment in my life that I remember being alone, being in my bed and not having them talk to me, not have them sing to me, not have them hold me. And fear. It was just like, I didn't know what was under my bed. So I was terrified of the night.
You invited them back.
No, I loved my mom. My mom was the driving force, you know, and it's like, I never thought at that age to question, you know. My mom came to me and she said, I see them. They like Helen, Georgia. They want to stay. You need to say goodbye. How she did it.
Wow.
And so I kind of had to figure out community, how to be human at an older age. And then when I moved away to college is when, excuse my language, may I say what I want to say?
No.
The shit hit the fan.
Oof.
And it was the like a mental breakdown in a way. I didn't know, was I fudging nuts? I crazy, you know? And I started seeing people that weren't there. I could see through them, but they're walking through my house. I get goosebumps. I would sleep with a bat. I'd sleep with a vacuum cleaner extension because it was longer than a bat, and I could swing it around my room like, are you real? You know? And I would lay with the blanket under my eyes. I remember for weeks, I used to not get in bed because that's when they would come to talk to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would sit on the floor and I would just put my fingers in my ear and I would chant, go away, go away, go away, go away, go away. And it's not like they were saying anything horrible.
Yeah.
It was all like, we love you. And it was beautiful, beautiful stuff, but I could not manage. I had no muscle for this whatsoever. So I called my dad and I was like, I think I need to get admitted to the hospital. Like, this is bad news. This is what's happening. And he goes, oh, stop there. Call Nana. She can talk to you about it. So I call my grandmother, Nana, and she was like, oh, we recognize you were doing it as a kid, but we thought it was very taboo and we wanted to help you. This runs in the family, but we just didn't want you to have to navigate it. You were too young, so we didn't help you. Like, we wanted you to turn it off, but it's obviously not turning off. So maybe you could use it. Maybe you could learn how to use it. Maybe you could help others.
Wow.
Wow.
So this was your dad's mom?
Mm-hmm.
So your mom, what didn't run in her side of the family? It was your dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And so your mom, in stopping you from from talking to them. She thought she was helping you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine this poor woman has this psycho kid talking yeah. about stuff that's not there.
Yeah. And
back in the early 70s, there's not language for it. I mean, your kid was just like, woohoo, loopy, imaginative. She couldn't manage me. But I wasn't mean and harmful and aggressive, but I wasn't controllable with rules. Because I remember there several times she would tell me something and I would say, well, that's not true. And I'd tell her what was really happening. And she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I got walked out of the Baptist church sitting up in the pews going, that's not true. As the minister is a-going. He's a-going. And I'm looking at my grandma going, that's not right. That's not true.
Jamie, I had some of those familiar feelings, like from sitting in church as a kid, like, how is this true? Like, how is this true? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. All of this, like, you're going to hell business didn't resonate. Like, no, we're not. Look at us. Look at us, precious little lambs that we are sitting in this church. On what planet are we going anywhere but good?
Right? I think that's the difference in raising, well, at least how we're raising our kids now, and not that need to control them, because I think that was part of the way people parented. You control the behavior. It's like, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You're trying to get them to an outcome.
Yes.
Right.
The outcome is more important than what the child is experiencing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you were judged by the outcome by others. Was your child going to achieve that? Or are they going to do that? Or are they going to behave?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that is shifting these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is and it isn't. So that's part of why it's exciting to, you know, hear that pretty heartbreaking story. I mean, wow, honey, that's intense. And like so much love to you and your whole team. Like, what a journey. But how you can help others who have, you know, suffered that too, that we have these extra ordinary, supernatural, we like to call it super and natural. But the experiences that we have are so intense because they don't align with what everyone's saying is right and real. And yet it's very real for us. And then it's all of that reconciliation, like, okay, what's actually happening? And like, what a gift you are that you can come out to the other side of it. And you have helped millions of people, I bet. Like, now you're this teacher with TV shows and all kinds of like you're killing it, sis. And having come from that place of like kind of excruciating pain is how it looks to me. So, wow.
It's wild that the healing from being different, like still when I talk about my greatest need today, it is to belong. Mm. Like, I can barely say it so loud. You know, my throat chokes up. Like, I just want to belong.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
And the healing of that was standing up and talking about it. And I have no freaking idea where the courage came from. Wow. I think it was part ignorance and stupidity that gave me the bravery. Because I didn't know how it was going to be received. And, you know, I've ended up in some sketchy places, I will confess. You know, people have handed me some words that are unrepeatable.
Yeah.
And I have cried a lot over, am I a good person? Am I an imposter? How can I do this? Why isn't everybody doing this? I'm not a different human being. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do I feel so alone? You know, so in talking about it, I found stories in other people, and they would come to me privately, you know, hush, hush, whisper, hush, hush.
Yeah.
And it's like, you too? Why aren't we sharing this? And and it's still a little under the table.
Oh, it totally
you know,
is.
About these experiences. But hey, science is catching up to us.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Truly.
True.
I'm excited about that.
Come on, physicists, let's go.
Please.
So will you tell us a little bit more how you got a handle on it, how you were able to move away from the fear of it and start to incorporate it into your everyday life?
From fear to fruit.
Actual seeing spirit live and seeing, sensing all of this energy.
Yeah, the point where you go from sleeping in bed with a bat to
That's right.
standing on the bed going, you will not wake me up tonight. I know my power and I know my boundaries.
That's right.
And you will be out of here.
Yes, tell us about that. Because we have had some listeners who are scared. They're scared that if they open up to this, that, you know, it's going to be a scary thing.
It'll just consume them, right?
That's right. So we've tried to explain that we have dominion over our own selves. We have power over our own energy systems.
Go
so
Sarah.
Will you will you tell us how you think of that and how you teach that and how you get that message out there?
Yeah. So I came across it with my teacher, Marguerite Romas. And it was a roommate of mine that was like, I found this little class in Gainesville, Florida, 6-week series of psychic awareness. Let's go. And I was like, sure. Kind of shaking in my boots, like, because I wasn't really saying anything. And we did all these exercises. And then by the end of the second class, Marguerite came to me and she was like, I want you to come to my private classes at home. And I was like, no, thank you.
Sounds great. No.
She goes, no, you can do this. And I was like, I was like, fine. I was in my early 20s and the average age in her class was 50 something upwards. They'd already gone through their midlife crisis. They've already wrestled with where their strengths are and how to speak about their demons in a way. They did their shadow work, you know, and as an early 20, nowhere near that place.
Yeah.
So she was a stinker. She was a teacher. She was. She called me Little Devil.
Oh, nice.
And that was her nickname for me. And she would purposely lie to me to get me to come out of my shell. And she would tell me when she would lie. So for instance, she knew I could read people and she called me one day and she goes, Jamie, she knew I wouldn't go out there in public, but she knew I loved her. She goes, I'm very sick today and I can't make it to the psychic fair. And she was like the person to see at the psychic fair. She says, I can't make it. I need you to take my place because if I don't have someone sitting at the table, I'll lose my spot next year. Oh. And I was like, oh, we can't have that. She goes, you got to go. The cough. So I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker and I showed up and it was my first public appearance. With, you know, there I was and 20 something, but I probably look like I'm 15 and nobody shows up at my table. The morning goes by, hundreds of people are coming in and talking to other people. And I'd get people walking by and go, who are you? Where's Marguerite? Why are you so young? You can't do this. And I go, but I, okay. And I was like, oh, it was very humbling. And then it kind of made me mad that they were judging me about how I looked. I didn't think that would be an issue. So I stopped one of the guys and I was like, let me just do it for free. I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like, let me just read for you.
Yeah.
So I read for him and the next person heard, he talked. And then there was a line and this was a little after lunch.
Ooh.
And I've got about, you know, this line going around the corner and then Marguerite comes in with a casserole.
Have you worked up an appetite?
Hey, little devil. She goes, you look like you're doing well. I brought you some lunch. I was like, you are sick. And she goes, no, I'm not. She goes, it was just the only way I could get you to see what you could really do.
Yeah.
Wow.
And without that trickery, I don't think that I would ever have come into saying out loud that was who I was. You know, and then people started paying. You know, it was $20, you know, and as a college kid, $20 repetitively for the rest of the day. I was like, this is insane. This is so fun. Like I get paid for doing this. I didn't know you could do that. Definitely didn't go to college for that. So she was like, come back next year and do it with me again. So it was a slow launch, but then word got around. But then you pose a different issue. And I wonder if this has happened to you, where you come out and you say, these are my abilities. They're very natural to me. This is what I do. And then you meet someone who knows your abilities, but then you have to gauge, are they interested in you as Sarah or you as Jane, or are they interested in you because you're the medium? You know, and then I got really private, and my extrovert side just kind of screamed and shriveled because they weren't there for me. They were there to ask a question. Mm. They were there to see what I could see in them, but they didn't want to know me. And it was just like, I don't like people anymore. You know, like, what do I do?
I mean, I think there is something really different about going through that in your 20s versus, you know, should we say how we're old?
No, what decade kidding, are we in?
I mean, we've definitely gone through all of that. But I think to have that, like that newness and that freshness and that inexperience of like adulthood, to have to go to bear that, that's a lot to carry as that young.
I love your teacher though. She seems like such a Yoda, you know. She's like, oh yeah, you can pick up the X fighter. Like, go ahead, sis. And you know what I mean? Like, what a cool, amazing human that she did that for you. Because you were ready, it turns out.
Yeah.
I was. You know, she was a big pusher. You know, she she was. Not with drugs, but with energy. Yeah. She pushed me to learn to channel. She was like, you can do this. And she would just kind of throw me to the wolves. You know, we had a group of 20 people that would meet. And she was like, Jamie's going to sit in the center of the room and give readings to everybody. I was like, yeah. Again, no thank you. She's like, nope, it's what we have planned. Go. So I take note of that. And I do want to push my students, but I don't do it as aggressively as my Italian bird, Marguerite. I do it more in a, I'd love to push you. Like when I teach transchanneling in person, we will do live streams, but I'll give them the option. You don't have to have the camera on you. Hmm. I'll just put the camera on me, but you do the channeling so that they can hear you. You don't have to share your name. We can just give you a different name so that you can feel what it's like to move the energy through you and have it be received by, you know, online community.
Wow.
And kind of protect yourself a little bit from who is that? Oh, they're wrong or they're right. You know, people's judgments or wanting to measure and label things. So it's a nice push, but it's also a little protective.
A safe push. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I wonder, we haven't really spoken very much about transchanneling yet on this podcast. And so I wonder if you wouldn't mind just a little intro-y paragraph about what it means to be a transchannel. And I would love to know your experience too. I am having my own trans experiences, but I don't fully like exit stage right like you do. So anyway, I'll go back to my original question. Would you mind just kind of teeing up the subject a bit?
That's so fun. I tend to say exit stage left.
Ah!
So
maybe hilarious. Together we're both gone and whoever's there.
Channeling is fascinating work and there's so many different layers to it. And I fully believe everybody does it. Every listener right here, you have had a channeling moment. If you've been in a conversation with someone and then you responded with something and you were listening to your words in the back of your head and you were thinking, oh my God, I am amazing right now. I can't even believe I'm saying this. And this is so impactful. And I'm learning so much from myself right now, like what is going on, and you're way into it. And then it turns off and there's like this pause, this lift, this disconnect. That's channeling.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it goes from that, which is what I would probably call a shallow connection, a very easy, put your toes in the water kind of a thing, all the way to full incorporation, where this would be the Edgar Cayce's, the Abraham Hicks, you know, the Jamie Butler, where you practice. And the way that I like to teach it is all through brainwave activity. How do you introduce yourself into trance, which is allowing yourself to fall into a delta brainwave, less neurotransmitters happen in there. It's kind of what you do when you go to sleep.
That's right.
And then you maintain enough of a beta activity where you can kind of do this exchange. So, and the exchange is that when the spirit comes in, they are now firing off with your body, which is the instrument in this case, to then convey words, concepts, and ideas, movement to whomever is observing them without your character and your personality or ego or identity leading the information. It's asleep and the spirit is kind of layered on top of it. So the furthest way that you can go with this is that your sleepness kind of takes you out of your physical body and you're resting your subconscious in your energetic field.
Wow.
And then you can take it a little bit more shallow where your rest is kind of like you're in your belly and you're having shared space. Mm-hmm. It's like the oil and water. You're the water. You're resting a little bit more dense in the belly. And then the oil is the spirit coming in on top.
Oh, that's and so cool.
They're using the voice and the movement, but you're aware. You can hear it and you can feel the jaw moving. You can feel the body moving, but you're not necessarily controlling it. You're just in it as it is moving without your brain firing off to do the actions.
Fascinating. Are you oil and water or are you...
How I'm do you exit do stage left.
You're at stage left. Yes.
So you don't have any recollection then of what, so you channel Maitland and Grace.
And yes, those are my main
your
guides.
Main... But
there's several others throughout the years that I've channeled.
So the only way you know what they say is if you watch a recording?
Yes, which
wow,
I don't enjoy doing because it doesn't sound like me and it's freaky.
Yeah.
Like it's awkward. So I tend to rely on my assistant, Colleen, who would be in the room. And I'm like, did it go well? Like what was said? And she's usually like, okay, this is what happened. And she'll give me like the cliff notes. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. But other than that, no.
I had the great benefit of seeing you live once, Jamie, in Marin at the tiny little Center for Spiritual Living or something like that. So
yes,
I met
Sunrise.
Sunrise, yes. And so there were it was a small room, which I think my impression, I was like, how are we so lucky? Because I figure you play very big rooms. So anyway, it was a very magical little moment. And I remember I walked up to you for a second afterwards and I said something about what you said or what that you channeled. And you were like, I could see it so clearly on your face that you had no idea what I was talking about.
It's panic. It's panic.
Well, no, of course you're in a room of friendly folk. Like we were all like, of course, but it was just cool to have that interaction with you and see that part where it was not there. It was like that information was not in your personal brain. And so I've never been a skeptic about any of this, like ever, like at all. But it did create this really amazing moment for me of understanding or like fully believing in my body that what I saw was real because I could see that you, Jamie, didn't have access. That wasn't, you know, but how brave. And that's my next question is like, how do you, I mean, I'm a control freak, just absolute 100%.
Amen.
God bless me. Control.
Good
so
stuff.
Like fully handing it over sounds just terrifying and like, how do you do it?
How?
Yeah. How does the trust come in?
I think it began with me out of fear. Mm. It is such a, I don't like the feeling of falling. Do you know that feeling?
Yeah.
Have you ever got the feeling of falling when you are really tired, you're laying in bed and you know you're about to fall asleep and your body lifts like that and your stomach goes, oh, like,
yeah.
Whoop. Okay. That is the sensation that I physically feel when spirit is close and I'm about to step aside.
Wow.
And when spirit was coming in and my teacher was walking me through visual prompts, you know, this is what you're doing and guiding me. So it was like a little bit of hypnosis technique along with guided meditation. And I started getting that feeling and I was like, oh no, like I'm out of here. And there was just something in my body that just, I think it was overload. Kind of the same safety mechanism that I made my paranormal activity as a kid be very visual and audio, just like I was meeting a stranger on the street. Like I didn't have a lot of physical sensations. I didn't get gut instincts. didn't get the goosebump stuff until I was much older. And I started to develop the other layers that come with being intuitive. So I think my checking out was a safety mechanism.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah. You know, but the way that I teach it is not so much about that, because I don't think that what I did was necessarily healthy. And I want my students to have more control over their trance states and be able to enter and exit as they deem necessary.
Nice.
God, there's so much we could say about that. I don't want to like run away with the mic or anything, but
yeah. Well, I think that's a perfect introduction because it is a really fascinating topic. But you know, it is, I think, like Abraham Hicks and Casey, like those folks are very like accepted. Like it's like if you ask most folks on the street, you know who Abraham Hicks is? Yeah. Do you know what it is? They have really nice messages about, you know, abundance. And I'm like, yeah, but do you know she is in full channel and, you know, and Abraham is an entity?
Yeah,
and
her name is not Abraham.
What? An entity? Yeah. No, that's weird. I'm like, you've read all the books, though. Yeah, I've read all the books. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like there's like a disconnect. And so, again, to your beautiful mission and the one we've come along with too is like, let's say like, wow, to your point. Yeah. Sometimes the wisdom flows in and you're just like, I'm a genius. Where is this coming from? And then you have just taken it to like this profound level of inviting very high beings. I was listening to Grace talk about a global warming on my walk last night. And it was such a beautiful talk and it was so helpful to me. So what you're doing is a huge gift to the world. And so,
wow, I feel like I need to listen to that channeling.
I would recommend it.
It might ease my heart a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of beauty that comes from it. So when you're stepping in, like whoever's out there listening with great interest and you haven't put your toe in the water yet, there are beautiful side effects that come from discovering your ability to move energy and interact with subtle light energy. Mm. And one of them I think is worth a conversation is that you have a different relationship with the value of life and the value of your transition into death of the physical body. What does that look like? Because it's no longer wrapped in mystery or fear. Not that you have the whole answers, you know. I don't know if we'll ever have all the answers, but it doesn't guide your decision making anymore. It doesn't push you the way that it did before. And so if you're operating out of a lot of fear or you're overstimulated and you're highly sensitive, I definitely encourage you. Like, sit down, go through these podcasts. Sit down, listen more. You know, if it's just podcast because you don't have a community available, it's a great place to begin, you know, and then go to books, find a teacher that you really like, because you're not going to become more overstimulated as you learn. You're actually going to become more in tune and more in harmony with how your body is trying to operate. So don't stop.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
So good.
So beautifully said. I mean, it's taking the fear away, you know?
Well, yes.
And that's so, it is so beautifully said, because like we're actually bringing it more into the body, more into the life, as opposed to out there. Maybe it's here, you know?
Is that a tagline I just heard? I like it.
No, like it's ripping on your
there.
Awesome.
It's here.
So. Yes. Embodiment, like you're pitching, and what I'm hearing is like, okay, friends, like you've had these experiences and they're maybe freaking you out, but like, here's what's true. The more in the body and of the world, the more you can actually engage with the other world. It's kind of a dichotomy.
True.
So true.
Yes. True. Yes, it is.
So one of the, Sarah already teed this up before, like so much of what we hear is like, eek, scared, eek, I don't want to, eek, whatever. So we, not to retread, but like talking about that safety, like you were starting to talk about how we can engage with these subtle energies and the lessons that we learned from it. But Can you say more about your practical stuff? Like how many crystals are on your desk? No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to tell you how many are on my desk. Like how do you, how do you stay in the body and in the world? And
yeah. And is it connected to your belief system? Like what role does your belief system have in how you feel safe?
Sarah, let's pause so I can confess my love to you right now. I love you so much for bringing that aspect up because that is the core foundation of this whole entire journey. Yeah. It's insane. The more I get involved in this, the older I get, it's like knocking me on the side of the head. It's so blatant. What you believe in, and this is what spirit used to teach me as a kid, what you believe in is your own truth and knowledge is your only limit. Mm. And when I was younger, I used to think that the limit of knowledge was because I hadn't learned a lot and I need to go study. So in college, I threw myself into the phrase and started learning as much as I could. And then I discovered it's not about that. Learning the path of another person is limiting me because I am unknowingly putting myself on another person's path and it's not mine. So it was just like, crap. I'm back to ground zero. I stopped reading books. I stopped going to gurus. I just pulled out and was like, where are you, Jamie? What do you know is true for you? Mm. And that switch really helps in the whole confidence aspect of it. But it's scary in a way because when you're in a religious community and not putting religious communities down by any means. If you have found a religion that works for you, I celebrate that hardcore. I'm going to be your number one cheerleader because you know what works for you.
Yeah.
I'm noting a difference between a religious community and a spiritual community. A religious community is all the people on your pew, all the people in your chapel and church are agreeing to the same thing. They are agreeing to walk the same path and you are going to take your choices, decisions, and you're going to align them with those integrities and morals that will get you to that end goal that somebody else walked that said, this was good and this is where it got me. Follow me.
Right.
Spirituality doesn't do that. All the people sitting next to you are in their own universe. And so you're having your journey and you look to the person next to you going, do you see that? And they're like, nope. You're like, do you taste this? And you're like, no.
No.
You're like, whoa, how do I talk to you? How do I say what I'm doing is real and not be an imposter because we're not all fitting into a mold and a model?
Wow.
And I encourage you to find your own voice and practice communicating who you are. Mm. And the one thing, like, if you forget all of what we've talked about, and it was pretty much all amazing, but it's okay if you forget about it. I want you to remember this one thing. I really want you to remember discovering your definition of being uncomfortable. Mm. Okay. It's not the same feeling as if you're taking a risk or if you're afraid, scared, or full of fear. I want you to define what uncomfortable means. Because just the itty bitty bitty amount of being uncomfortable for a highly sensitive person, a medium, a psychic, an intuitive, is an alarm. But we've trained ourselves, our culture has trained us, indoctrinated us that a tiny bit of uncomfortable is nothing, baby. You need to step over that. You need to persevere. Put your chin up.
Yeah,
no pain, no gain. Yep. Pull your socks up. Let's keep going. You know, it's like, oh, I can't, you know, and it becomes paralyzing. So if you identify that small amount of being uncomfortable, all of a sudden you realize where your boundaries are. Mm-hmm. What did you just cross? What did you just give away without knowing you didn't want to give it away? Was it extra time? Was it your emotional well-being? Was it too much thought and effort? And then you start to discover your boundaries, your filters that you need to put in place by identifying where you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's first place to begin.
Yeah.
When you get that down, then you have a way of knowing how to feel safe and comfortable in any environment, family environment or stranger environment, because you'll have the strength to go, I'm a little uncomfortable. And then the second thing to remember, and that's all I'm going to say. There's just two. I'm not going to add a third. So don't ask. No. is when you're uncomfortable, most likely you need a reset. Mm. And when you're out somewhere and you are just learning and you don't have the ability to go, I'm having a psychic overwhelming a moment right now. Can you guys just step back for 5 feet and give me a moment to breathe? So you could simply say this, excuse me, where's your bathroom? Like, I need to use the restroom. Because nobody's going to say, no, I'm not going to tell you where it is. You have to stay here. Everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, we all pee. It's over there.
Yeah.
I'll walk you there. You close the door because you don't pee in a community.
That's
just
right.
Rarely happens. You're in a stall.
A little kid. Right?
You're in a bathroom and then that gives you a moment to like breathe. Let me look at that tiny uncomfortable moment. I'm by myself now. I can do retrospect and collect my words of what I need to say when I go back in, or do I develop an exit strategy? Now you can do what you feel you need to do to take mm-hmm. care of yourself. And if you're in there too long, you're just going to have to face the consequences. They might think that you had some diarrhea, but that's okay. You live with it. You just come out and go, it was the Mexican food yesterday. I don't know. Make up something. Those That's are hilarious. Two really good starting points to find your boundaries mm-hmm. so that you can find your safety that will lead to the trust in your abilities, the bravery to talk about it. Mm. And I know it's a little outskirting, you know, because you're not being really forthcoming, but come on, this is like wild stuff in a way. It doesn't set well with every person. And there's not a sticker on somebody's head that says, I can handle the woo-woo. Just throw it at me. I'm, you know, I can do this.
Jane sees the light. She's like, oh,
I'm like, same person. Like,
yeah.
But it takes a second. Yeah. Are you woo safe? Are you woo-woo safe? Oh my God. Can you develop a stamp that can go on things certified woo-woo safe? Seriously. I'm all looking at their bracelets. I'm like, oh, I see you. I see you, crystal bracelet. All right. Let me tell you what I really do for a living.
I would wear that t-shirt.
Woo safe. Yeah, it does. But it happens so fast, right? Like this just happened. I was at a golf tournament and there were two fellows looking at me and they're like, what's your podcast about? And I'm like, here's the moment. Here it is. Wow. And I just had enough like of a lift to go like, it's not going to fully land. But and then it was great because it was kind of like the population. One guy was like, that's freaking cool, man. Say more about that. And the other guy's backing away slowly. And I was like, I go, you guys are a perfect example of how most people respond. So this is great. Thank you very much.
You develop that thick skin of rejection. And, you know, it can be painful. I can understand why people don't ever want to talk about it for the fear of being rejected. But the act of doing the work gets you into the place of knowing that you're accepted no matter what.
Oh, drop the mic. Luckily, it's on a stand. Yeah, no, that's it right there. That's it. You said it before, like this wanting to belong. And like, here we are in our own little like holographic multiverses next to the
we
next.
We are. We're our own little universes.
Our own little magical universes. But we do have rainbows in common. You know, we can see things at the same time. And so like how lucky for those of us who are finding each other right now. And that's, yes. I feel like you're just like the Pied Piper, Jamie, like you're such a wonderful leader. And I really do feel deeply honored and stoked to have had the pleasure to sit with you.
You are making me blush. I do not blush easily. Thank you for the compliments. It's just everything that I do want to do in the world. The Pied Piper fits perfectly because I want to be the playful person. Mm-hmm. You know, this is big stuff, but it doesn't need to be scary at all. You are in control.
No. You're in control.
Amen.
You're safe. And we can giggle and talk about poop.
Yes. If I don't fit the word diarrhea in every podcast that
somewhere
I do,
in there.
Who am I?
Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank you so much. Truly an honor. And I love following you. I love seeing what you're doing next.
Thank you for this experience. Just thank you for putting this out here. I said it before, but I really mean it. There's not enough of you just to talk about having these experiences. The more we can put it on the table and shed some light on it, the more that the people who are coming into it for the first time won't feel so lonely, so disconnected, so fearful. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, both of you.
Well, thank you. We can't wait to already have you back on again.
I'm open tomorrow.
We just scratched the surface.
Just scratching the surface, totally. Thank you, dear friend. We'll see you really soon.
Wonderful. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Jamie.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, Podcast Consulting.
Mix by Podcast Engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen McKee, Photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.